Acts chapter 27 for our message this morning, the book of Acts chapter 27. If you'll find your place there, and we'll read a few verses here. I normally read a longer passage here, but we're going to pick it up in verse number 27 of the book of Acts, beginning in verse number 27. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under cover, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurions and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have the full assurance that your strength is perfect. Thank you for being a good, good Father. Thank you for the wonderful privilege we have as your people together here, and to be able to worship, to be able to pray together, listen to music, and then gather around the preaching of the Word of God. We thank you for how you're working in the life of our pastor, our sister pastor, and our church members, and across this country and world, the world you're showing that you're a good, good God. Now I pray that you would gather our attention here these few moments as we look at this passage of Scripture. I pray that you'll help us to glean something here, from here, that will help us in our Christian life. I pray you'll take me as your servant, cleanse me of any sin, then empty me of self. I pray you'll fill me with thine Holy Spirit. Bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Without a doubt, the Apostle Paul was a very, very special servant of God. He is known in Scripture as the greatest of all the evangelist missionaries you'll find in the Word of God. He was without a doubt a very special servant. This man of God, it seems like, no matter what situation he would face in life, he was always the master of that situation. Let me give you a few examples. For instance, in the book of Acts chapter 16, we find him with Silas in jail. Now, most people, if they were in jail, they would be complaining and fussing and upset. But what did Paul do? Instead of complaining, he all of a sudden decided that he was going to put on a sacred concert filled with prayer and praise to Almighty God. And all of a sudden, an earthquake happened and he brought the house down. That's the kind of servant he was. We find him in Acts chapter 24. He's standing before Felix. He dared to reason with him concerning righteousness, temperance, and judgment. He simply looked at Felix and said this: "You better do right." He said, "You better control yourself. If you don't do right and don't control yourself, you're going to face the judgment of Almighty God." Felix trembled and said this: "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." We find him in Acts chapters 25 and 26. He's before Festus. He says this: "Why should you think it's an incredible thing that God should raise the dead. How dare you think something like that about my God? We find him in Acts chapter 26. He's standing before King Agrippa. Agrippa replied to him, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." We find him now in the passage I just read in Acts chapter 27. He's a prisoner on a ship headed to Rome. In verses 10 and 11, he gave some advice like this. "This is not a good idea. This is not safe. I don't think we ought to do this." But they listened to the master of the ship rather than listening of the message from the servant of God. We find them a little bit later on in verses 11 and 4 through 14 in this passage. They refused his advice and ended up in a terrible storm. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, if you let compulsion or the wrong kind of counsel or doing what is convenient or the senses of opinions or dealing with your circumstances influence you, most times you're going to end up in a storm. We find here in verses 15 through 19, they were so tossed in the storm that they began to throw things out of the ship, trying to kind of stabilize the situation. In verse number 20, it had gotten so bad, there was seemed to be no hope. In other words, they were saying, "We're going to die. It's all over for us. This storm is more than we can handle." We find here in verses 21 through 25, this man of God once again reminds them that even though we're in a storm and it seems like there's no hope, it seems like we can't find help, there's still a God in heaven. And last night he told me, everything's going to be okay. Once again, this servant of God who walked with God and knew God says, God's got this. He has everything in his hands. Those words that flowed from his lips, those 270 some people on that ship, all they had to rely as the winds blew and the storms came were the words that came from the lips of the man of God. For 14 days in this horrible storm, they trusted in what he had said. In verse number 27, about midnight on the 14th day, after they were trusting in what Paul had told them, in spite of the fact that they'd gone on a trip that they told them it was not good, yet they settled down and listened to him. But on the 14th night, they sensed they were close to land. Land now is in our view. We find in verse number 28, they tested the depth of the water and realized that was 20 fathoms, 120 feet deep. A little bit later, they tested the water again and found it to be 15 fathoms or 90 feet deep. Now get in mind that they're saying now the storm is raging. They're getting close to land. They can see the land. The water is not as deep. They begin to cast out some anchors to be able to hold the ship so it would not hit the land and crash and break up. And then a few selfish, unwise guys kind of thought about, there's land out there and we can make it to shore. So as they were pretending to put the anchors down, they saw some lifeboats hanging on the side of the ship. And they say, you know what? If we cut down these lifeboats, we can get in those lifeboats and make it to shore. Now keep in mind, only a few of them could do that. But they were so selfish and thinking about themselves they were not thinking about the rest of the crew on the ship. They were just trying to get to shore themselves. About that time, the man of God who served a good father told them what was going on. And Paul repeated something that I want you to look at in verse number 31. Picture this. These selfish men, pretending to let down anchors, trying to get to shore, not thinking about anybody else. Paul said in verse 31, Paul said to the centurions and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Here's what I'm saying. I told you that God talked to me last night. I told you that God's got this. I told you that God has a plan. God's plan for these men, for every single one of them, not to get in a lifeboat to try to figure things out, but you abide in the ship and let God take care of the situation. God's plan, God's program, God's protection, God's provision for that crew was to abide in the ship in spite of the storms they were facing. I want to remind us of something. God's plan hadn't changed. The gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church. God still got a ship, and it's built to sail. And let me tell you something. For 39 years, this ship has sailed around the world. It's gone over this country and around the world. And God has put in place a captain. And I want to say personally, he's a good captain. He's built for sailing. And I'm going to tell you something. This church and many other churches and many people are facing a storm. We're going through probably the most severe storm that we've ever been through in our life. But there's a God in heaven that says, I got this. I'm in control of this. I see your situation. I see you sailing. I'm following along. I'm guiding you. You tell every man on that crew, here's what to do. My program, my protection, my provision is not in a boat. You stay in the ship. You stay in the ship. I'm reminded today of all that we're going through in this pandemic. And I'm reminded today that this ship has been sailing and God intends for it to continue to sail. And I'm thankful today that God has placed here a captain who, from a little boy, was called of God to be a sailor. To a captain, to lead a ship, to take it around the world. Without a doubt, our captain is in a storm right now. Our assistant captain is in a storm right now. This crew, which is a wonderful crew, is in a storm right now. But this is God's ship, and it's made to sail. And I'm going to tell you something, it's going to sail. I was thinking this morning and thinking last night about all that Pastor Kenny is going through and all that Pastor Mike is going through and all that some family members in our church are going through. And we're in a storm without a doubt. And it's a severe storm. It's the worst thing we've ever seen in our lives. We've got a good captain and a good assistant captain and a good crew. But the storm is here. But I was thinking today as we think about our pastor and all that he's going through, let me give you some information that I know about our captain. I'm not worried, though I talk to him every day and I pray for him every day and I've seen what he's gone through. If I could do anything today as a father and as a member of this crew, I would like to be able to say, I'm going through, I'm 74, I've had a good life, I've been through a lot, and he's going through a lot. I'd like to be said, Lord, let that happen to me. But I'm not worried about him not being captain in the storm. I've watched him these 6 months. I've seen what he's gone through. I've seen what his wife has gone through. And you know what? Whether he's lying in bed, whether he's texting on the phone, whether he's sending out a devotion, whether he's doing an interview, whether he's preaching, I'll tell you one thing he's still doing. He's still a good captain and doing a job. I'm not worried about Pastor Mike and what all he's gone through the last several years and especially the last several months. I'll tell you what, one thing for sure, whether he's lying in bed, whether he's at home, away from church, he's still doing the things that an assistant captain ought to do. But I'll tell you what I am worried about. The greatest task that the captain is going through, and the greatest task that the assistant captain is going through, is saying, God, help this crew. Help this crew. In all the storms they're going through, to abide in the ship. Stay with it. Though we're not all gathering together, it's still a ship. Whether you're in your home, whether you're in another place, whether you're sitting in the pews, we are on a ship that's going someplace to God. For God, we need every crew member, abide, abide, abide in the ship. Though the storms may come. I can't take Pastor Kenny's place in what he's going through physically. I can't take Pastor Mike's place in what he's going through physically. I can't take your place in what you're going through. But one thing I want to do with all of my heart, I want to tell you, abide in the ship. Stay in the ship. There is no storm that God cannot calm. There is no sickness that God cannot handle. The captain is made to sail. The assistant captain is made to sail. Help us as a crew to abide in the ship. So for a few moments, I want to give you just a couple of thoughts from this passage and what Paul went through to tell every member, every crew member, how to help you abide in the ship, though the storms may come. We'll get through this because he's got it. He's in control. And God help us to abide in the ship. The first thing I want you to notice started way back in the beginning in verses 10 and 11. The Apostle Paul spoke to them before they took off. He said in verse 10, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the landing and the ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master of and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. How do we abide in the ship that God's put us on? The first thing I want to tell you we need to do is listen to the man of God. You know what we've been blessed with? A Bible preacher. You know what we've been blessed with? Not someone who preaches philosophy or opinion. God knew that someday we would not be together like we've been all of these years. And every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and every video we've seen, there's a man of God, a captain, who stood behind this pulpit or sat at the desk, and he has given that crew something that can help in the midst of our storm. I'm thankful that we have a God called, a God changed, a God compelled, a God constrained, and yes, a God concerned captain who's not just thinking about himself, but thinking about his crew. That's why he gets up early in the morning and pray for every church member by name. That's why for 6 months, every single day, including 10 days in a hospital, that he takes that cell phone, sends out devotional to several people around this country. Why? He's a captain that has a responsibility to warn that crew of the danger of life and give us what we need. You see, we've been warned about Satan. We've been warned about sin. We've been warned about selfishness. We've been warned to the point that we understand we ought to be selfless and selfish in spite of the storm we're going through in life. You see, a good captain will warn his crew about the dangers of life. He'll warn his crew about the duties of life. We're to still give. We're to still pray. We're to still love. We're to still forgive. We're to still support one another. Why? The captain has given us something from the Word of God that says storms don't change. And we ought to listen to the man of God every time we hear something from the Word of God. Why? We need to abide in the ship. I need to stay with what God has given me, and I need to do that. This is not a time to let up. This is not a time to be slack. If you can be in church, you ought to be in church. If you can't be in church, you ought to tune into church. You ought to be praying every day, doing your devotions every day. You've been taught that, given that, warned that by the captain. Who gets up every day and gets a hold of God and asks God, give me what I need to give my crew who's sailing around the world to help them fight against Satan and sin and self. I need them to abide by stay in the ship. You know, this is important to God, and this is no surprise to Almighty God. And a good captain has warned us of our duty, warned us of danger, warned us of delay, and we are without excuse not having to lean on something we've gotten from this blessed book. So how do I stay in the ship in my storm? Listen to the Word of God that comes from the man of God and put it into practice in our lives. Secondly, how do I stay in the ship? In the storm I'm going through. In verses 21 through 25, notice what Paul said. Keep in mind, the ship's in a storm. In verse 20, they thought it was all over. They're about to die. It's all over. There's no hope. We've thrown things out of the ship. And the ship, if the storm is getting worse, what are we going to do? Paul said in verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I'm in a storm. I've got pressures of all walks of life. I've got financial storms and family storms and friendship storms. My foes are against me. I'm listening to what I've heard preached, what I've heard taught. But I'm in this storm. What do I do? Number two, lean on the message from the Word of God. We find that it's not enough just to be hearers. I need to lean upon what I hear. Lean upon the message of God. And God gave Paul a threefold message that he gave to his men to lean upon. First of all, there was a message of courage. He said, I exhort you, be of good cheer. How can it be of good cheer? He says two things. There's a promise from God, and there's a presence of God. Paul said, God made me a promise. His promise will not fail. God says, I am with you. Every situation, in every storm, that every crew member is going through, God says, I made you a promise. Don't fear it. I made you a promise. I'm there with you. So we got a message of comfort. Well, we've had a few of those these last 6 months. I was thinking about Pastor Mike having his catheterization this past Wednesday. And I try to take time to pray when the procedure is going on. So I just got down and just started praying. Just about 8 minutes later, I get a text from Casey saying, he's out, no blockage. And I get a text from Laura, he's out, no blockage, no stent. And I said, boy, you're talking about a message of comfort. Message of comfort. Now, I think of it all the times that we've prayed for things that we're going through and God at the right time gives us a message of comfort. I've been praying for my daughter Dee Dee for weeks now. She's overdue for a mammogram and she kept telling me she's going to get one here, and I keep praying, Lord, help her get a normal mammogram. She comes over to the house the other night and she brings us a bunch of food and she said, by the way, 2 weeks ago I got my mammogram, it was normal. I said, spank you like I did that time when you were a little one out at the shopping center here. Here I am praying and begging God for 2 weeks and you've been normal for 2 weeks. But it was a message of comfort. And it'd take me all day to tell you all the times that Pastor Kenny has called for the right time or Bethany has called at the right time. I think about it going to the hospital the other day and I literally almost lost it. And then hear the text from Bethany and she gives me his blood pressure is normal and heart rate is normal and all of these things. And God, just at the right time, knows how to give you a message of comfort. Lean upon the message. At the right time, when you need it the most, God says, I've got this. And you get a message of comfort that makes all the difference in the world. Verse 24, he gave him a message of courage. He said, fear not. God hadn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I got this. Fear not. And we get a message of courage to keep on going. And everybody has to go through this. And God says, I'll give you a message of comfort, but there's a message of courage. If you lean upon the message, trust me. And then he said in verse 25, he got a message of conviction. And this is where we all need to be. For I believe God. Prayer is not a problem with us. We pray all the time. It's just we need to have some conviction that I believe what I'm praying about. I believe what I heard. I believe the word of God. I'm going to take God at his word. And I'm going to lean upon it. Makes all the difference in the world. What does it do? It helped me abide in the ship. It helped me stay here. There are too many of God's people, as bad as things are now, jumping in a lifeboat. And if you think for a moment, if a storm can rock the ship, what do you think it's going to do with you in the boat? God says, lean upon the message. I promise you, wherever you are, your problem may not be as big as somebody else, but it's a storm to you. And if you will listen to the man of God who will give you the word of God, and you will lean upon the message you get from God, I'll give you a message of comfort. I'll give you a message of courage. And I'll give you some conviction that you need to have to say, I believe God and what he says. And it made all the difference. And then finally, lastly, we're going to abide in the ship. We need to listen to the man of God. I need to lean upon the message of God. And then in the text that I read in verses 29 through 32, it's one thing to hear a message. It's one thing to be on a ship. It's one thing to be, you know, doing what you're supposed to do as a crew member. But it's another thing when we do it the way God says it ought to be done. We not only need to listen to the man of God, lean upon the message of God, but I need to labor in what I'm doing according to the method of God. I need to do it God's way. It can't be a formality. And by the way, one thing we're all finding out in this pandemic, this mechanical Christianity, praying and stuff, it not working. I can't tell you as a preacher and all the texts we get and all the preachers we talk to and all the people we talk to are literally falling apart and changing what they're doing and not serving God. All kinds of things are going on. It's not enough just to hear. I've got to lean upon what I hear, and then I've got to keep doing what I'm doing, not as a formality. I've got to do it according to what God has said in His Word. And He expected those people, those 276 men on that ship, He expected them to do it exactly how He said. And here we find in verse 30, they're letting down these boats. Verse 31, Paul says to them, to the centurion, and to the soldiers. Now look at this passage here, this verse here. Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. In other words, there's no if and and. You're not going to get in a boat and make it. You've got to abide in the ship. In other words, you've got to take your hands off and let me do what I'm pretty good at doing. I take care of the ship that I have sailing and the captain and the crew that's on it. Now, we see several things right quickly here. First of all, we see security. He said, abide in the ship. Abide in the ship. Let me tell you something. This is a good time to make sure you are faithful to God's local church. That's God's program. The church is not an organization, it's an organism. It's the program of God. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the place where Christ is preeminent. It was purchased with His own blood. In the midst of a pandemic, the work of God through the local church is still important to God. This is the one time I wouldn't want to be outside of a good local New Testament church, where people pray together, where people help shoulder my burdens and what I'm going through. He says, stay in the ship because there's security there. Verse 32, notice what he says. He said, notice what they did. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. You see, if I abide in the ship, I find security. But by them cutting the ropes, letting the boats fall, here's what they were saying, and every Christian need to look at this. They stopped trying to do things their way and started trusting in God's way. We've all been guilty of that. It's amazing, no matter how much I try in this 44 years of being Christian, I'll always try to do what only God can do. We need to learn. God says, stop trying to do your own thing, figure it out yourself, and start trusting. After all, you heard the word. You're supposed to be leaning on it. You're sticking with it. Therefore, you've got security. Then let me see surrender. Let me see you really surrender everything to me and let me do what I am good at doing, taking care of your storm. So we see surrender there. And then he said in those four words, abide. Abide. That word has a little more to it. Abide in the ship. Don't just be in the ship. Anchor down. Abide in the ship. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved, Brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God says it's high time I get some people that are not just sitting in the pews, just not going through the formality, but they are abiding. They understand this is the work of God, this Christianity is real, and God is watching me every place I go, everything that I do, and I'm not just in the ship, I'm going to abide. I'm anchored down. I'm going to give. I'm going to go. I'm going to pray. I'm going to witness. I'm going to do everything because I'm in the ship. And I'm abiding. I'm steadfast, unmovable in the work of God. And then fourthly, we see, we not only see surrender. We not only see here security. We not only see steadfastness. But when you see cutting off the rope, and letting the boats fall, we really see salvation is only by trusting, not by trying. If you're here today, I don't care if you are on the ship and riding alone. I don't care if you're giving. I don't care if you're doing a whole lot of other things. If you're not totally trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, all you are doing is riding. God says, I want you to put your faith and trust in me and me alone. Not the church, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died and paid the price for our sins. I don't know about you, but this pandemic has changed a lot in my life. One thing it hasn't changed, but just made better, just shows me how valuable it is to be a part of a good local New Testament church that has a captain and an assistant captain and a crew. And we find that here at Crossroads Baptist Church. Pastor's going to be fine because the ship was handed over to him by Almighty God. The calling started really early in life when he saved the 4-year-old, spoke to his heart at 9, again at 16, and he's taken over a ship that's been sailing. I've got some experience. I've sailed with him on this ship for 39 years. And I'm going to tell you something. He's the real deal. I am thankful every day of my life, and I tell God every day of my life, thank you for the captain and the assistant captain and the crew. And if we can do anything during this pandemic to help our pastor, I want you to pray for his health and pray for his strength. But only God can take care of that. If we can do anything to support the captain during this pandemic, it's what he prays about and works hard on every single day, keeping every crew member abiding, abiding, abiding in the ship, though the storms will come. We're not at the end of the road yet. There are storms we've all gone through and other storms we still have to go through. But may God help us in the midst of our storm as a church and individually, help us to determine with all of our heart, we're going to abide, abide, abide in the ship. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I want you to think for just a moment. We sure have a whole lot to listen to over these years. Good Bible preaching. All the things that the captain has done and the assistant captain has done and crew members have done. We have a lot to be thankful. We certainly have a good, good Father. I want you to just think for a few moments. You're on this ship. The ship was designed by God to always sail. How well it does is based upon how many crew members listen to the man of God, lean on the message from God, and labor according to the method of God. Let's be the best crew we could ever be in the midst of the storms we're going through in life. If you're here today, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe you need to cut the rope and stop trying church and stop trying good works and stop trying turning over a new leaf and start trusting on the one who died for you and paid the price. With heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one look around for just a moment. How many will say, maybe this one will say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I certainly don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me?" Anyone like that at all? Would you slip your hand up, man, woman, boy, girl? Now, crew, we're going sailing like we've always sailed. Captain's under attack right now, but he's still captain, still preaching, still doing what he always does. If he can do that, not feeling well, what can we do with more time and more effort to make this ship go where God wants it to be? If Pastor Mike, who can't go to the church, can still do what he does, not feeling well, what can the rest of us do as a crew? Let's make up our mind. We're going to abide in the ship. Be steadfast, unmovable in this ship for the glory of God. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for being a great and wonderful God. Thank you for the wonderful privilege we have to be on your ship, to be part of a crew that supports the captain as he sails the way you direct and lead him. Make us steadfast, abiding in this ship for the glory of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.